On this, the second Sunday of Easter, we have in our readings from the Acts of the Apostles the beginning of what we could call the Apostolic Church, the church founded on the Apostles. And this is the third section where we get an insight into how the church was founded and behaving, if you like. The first part, which is not mentioned today, was that they came together to pray. The second was that they shared all their goods in common. And the third section, which you've heard this morning, from chapter 5 of Acts, which is a continuation of Luke's gospel, we have an emphasis put on healing. So it was prayer, it was charity and looking after the poor, and it was healing that was central to the foundation of the church from the apostles who witnessed and spent time with the risen Lord. In the second reading, we have St. John, who wrote the gospel as well. We have, if you like, the end of the church era that was founded on the apostles. By the time John wrote his gospel, nearly all of those who had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus had died, including the apostles, except for John. So that's the end of the apostolic era, if you like. And both the book of Revelation and John's gospel today are designed to give the people courage and hope as the church began its new journey, if you like, without the direct witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, and as the pressure was starting to build and persecutions came into the arena of the early church. So we have the beginning of the apostolic church, which will continue on in our readings during these weeks, and we also have the ending of that era. It is important to note that because in John's gospel, it seems as though that's the end of the gospel. There's another chapter after that that was inserted later. And what that tells us is that the church was unfolding. It was taking on something new. It was developing in a way that probably wasn't predictable in the time when the apostles were there. So as a result, the people needed a lot of courage because they were now starting to feel the pinch, if you like, particularly of the Romans. Now, the Roman emperor, Domitian, when people greeted him, they would say to him, Dominus et Deus, which is my Lord and my God. So what John has done cleverly is he has inserted the character of Thomas today. Most scholars would say and would agree that this event with Thomas did not take place. It is a way that John is using the figure of Thomas, known as the twin, to highlight that there is only one Lord and God. And Thomas's famous profession of faith, my Lord and my God, was so profound. It also was a very public statement that you can have your emperors, fine, but there's one Lord and God, and that is the risen Jesus Christ. So it's quite a brave thing that he's used there as an instrument to encourage the early church, which was now starting to become independent because, as I said, the apostles had all started to die. In this day and age, I think that there's a great movement to remove the sacred from many things in our society. It's what we would call secularisation. And we have to fight very hard to maintain our religious faith and our belief in God and to publicly demonstrate that. So when you open your phone and you're reading your Facebook or your Instagram texts or whatever, and you get the OMG that comes in there now. It's, everybody says it all the time, OMG, which originally people were saying, oh my God. Now people have become a little bit more sensitive and are just saying the OMG or oh my goodness. But the OMG that we get in modern society, the secularisation and the taking of the third commandment and using God's name in vain, is really a symbol, if you like, of what's happening with our society. So the pressure that is on us now, whilst it's different than what was on the post-apostolic church, the pressure is certainly on us with technology, sometimes our friend and sometimes our foe. The pressure really is on us to make sure that we honour the commandments of God respectfully and that we celebrate appropriately our belief in God. It's a challenge when peace in our life sometimes just isn't there, because other headlines tell us of all of the traumas and the darkness that exists in the world, and the Ukraine at the moment is a classic example. We really have to fight for peace. So that struggle within each and every one of us is the same as the early church, but different. It is personal, but it is also public. That's why I mentioned that about technology and our phones and things. Our life becomes very public, but the more it becomes public, the less peaceful it becomes. In order to gain the peace that Jesus talks about and that John puts in there so clearly, peace be with you through the lips of Jesus, we have to really struggle to get that back in our life. And the way to do that, in my belief, is to make sure that we get the balance right in our life. And the balance comes to us certainly by what we as church offer, but let's go back to the foundations of the apostolic church, and that would be the prayer, it would be the charity, sharing what we have, and thirdly, it would be our hope and our work for healing, as mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. If we can get our prayer, our charity, and our healing personally and amongst the community, I am sure that peace will be reigning very powerfully in our life, despite what the world might throw at us. But we do have to fight very hard to regain that peace. These days of Eastertide, as we call them, leading up to Pentecost, these are the days to dig deep. These are the days to regain that balance and to restore the peace in our life. It might be the time to use the technology in our hands less and focus more on the things that the apostles focused on, those first witnesses, prayer and charity and healing. It's not unique for us to have that struggle. It is consistent. That's what it is. We are following in the footsteps of the great witnesses who saw and heard and shared the face of Jesus. We have not had that opportunity. We are like those that picked up where John closed off when he went as the last apostle. We take that on board now, and we should be able to do that wisely and well, because we have 2022 years of history behind us to know what works and what doesn't work. So let's work for peace in our lives, and let's pray for healing in our world, and let's pray that we can get the balance right, both personally and publicly. That's the challenge, I think, that lays ahead of us this Eastertide.